Syrian government forces have entered the strategic town of Kobani, creating a new front line in its pushback against Turkey in northern Syria following the withdrawal of US troops. Turkey is aiming to create a so-called safe zone along its southern border, driving out Kurdish fighters from the region. The map of the Middle East is pretty complicated at the best of times, but some say that the last 10 days or so have radically redrawn the geopolitical map of the region. We're going to get to some analysis on that in a moment. But first, let's take you to the border area between Turkey and Syria. The 10 Network's National Affairs Editor, Hugh Rimmington, is there. You'll know him as well from here on RN. He's the host of Sunday Extra. He's there for the 10 Network. I spoke with him a short time ago.
Hello, Hamish.
It's very late there now. What's happened today? What is the situation?
Well, we've heard all kinds of mixed messages, but fundamentally one message from President Erdogan, and that is one of defiance. One thing that he has plainly said is that he will not tolerate a ceasefire. He gave a deadline, which is just about to pass now. The only terms under which he'd accept any ceasefire was if by midnight local time, the Kurdish terrorists, as he puts it, not only surrender all their weapons, but also dismantle any booby traps or other bombs that are left behind. And under those terms, then he'll accept a ceasefire. And plainly, those conditions aren't going to be met.
And from where you're standing, do you have much sense of the human cost of this invasion so far?
Well, we can look from where we are directly into the town of Tal Abyad, and we have seen this is one where the Free Syrian Army flag, not the Turkish flag, the Syrian proxies that have gone in with the Turkish military, it's their flag that has gone up. But we've been hearing small arms fire coming out of there, and columns of smoke emerge from time to time, both in the town but also in buildings that are sort of satellites to the town. We're also hearing that at Ras Al Ain, which was the first town that they claimed that they bought, that's further west from where I am, that in fact there is quite a fierce resistance taking place in an industrial area of that town where there are the Kurds have got a series of tunnels in place. But at the same time, we're hearing jet planes still going overhead us all the time. There's frequent artillery fire coming out from the Turkish side at targets on the Syrian side. So plainly, so far as the Turks are concerned, this is still an active war zone. They're still pushing on.
Being there, do you have a better picture of tactically, strategically, what they're trying to achieve in terms of the buffer zone, the layout of the area, pushing various fighting forces out, and what their objective is in terms of the populations as well?
Well, what President Erdogan has sold to the Turkish people is really two things. One is, as we all know, his strike against terrorists on their border. But his other element is rather a piece of, it really relates to an issue which is much more a domestic issue of importance here, and that is the 3.6 million Syrian refugees that are living within the Turkish borders. The ultra-nationalist movement, which initially was quiet on the issue of the Syrian refugees, has started in recent times to really make a point about these people. They shouldn't be here. They're not Turks. Kick them back. And so part of what Erdogan has done is to make this almost utopian promise that he was going to create this safe zone, and that in that he was going to invest in hospitals, there'd be schools, there'd be all this other stuff, there'd be security, and this would mean that the, at least initially said 1 million, then up that to 2 million Syrian refugees at least will want to go home to this magnificent safe place. But now that the Kurds have lost their sponsors in the United States, they've done pretty much the only thing they could do, and they've turned to the Syrian government regime of Bashar al-Assad, obviously heavily sponsored by the Russians, for help. And they have brought in troops right up into a couple of towns. There have actually been fatal clashes now between Syrian government forces and Turkish forces around the key strategic town of Manbij.
And in Manbij, as you say, you know, key frontier, we're hearing Russian-backed Syrian forces have taken the city. Who is in control, and to what extent are there Russian forces on the ground in these places?
Well, there are certainly Russian forces on the ground. The supposed lead player is the Syrian government, but people here take a view that that Bashar al-Assad regime is nothing without Russia behind it. So it's the Russians who are essentially making the decisions on this. So there was a race into Manbij. The Kurds had it. Now you'd say it's effectively under Russian stroke Syrian government control. And they got in there before the Turks could get there. So the Turks are on the northern edge of it. And there has been a fatal exchange of fire already. There's another town just to the north of that called Kobani, one that was absolutely flattened in the earlier stages of the war. Well, that one is also looking to be another flashpoint. Erdogan said he wouldn't go into that town. We're now being told that his intention is to go into that town. And so we've got two towns that are west of the Euphrates River, that itself is symbolic in its importance in this region, that the Kurds should be west of the Euphrates River. And it looks as though those, if there's going to be continued conflict, those are the two towns we're going to hear a lot about over the next few days.
Hugh Rimmington, thank you very much.
Good to talk to you, Hamish.